All right, we are here, and it's of course 12 o'clock, around about 12 minutes to past 12, and that's the time we're here. And I was saying, you see, in those days when somebody has to graduate, it was, you know, the events such as what was just, you know, taking place now, could only be heard by a few. You would just wait until, you know, in the evening when you have to watch it on TV. But now you are able to watch it at that very moment when it is taking place, at that very time when it is taking place. And that's important of technology. That has made everything, you know, easier. But at the same time, we have, of course, students graduating, and of course, you have had quite a number of graduates that have graduated, and a lot of them have graduated. But they don't have, you know, they don't have work. They did not get a job. Most of them have graduated, and they did not have jobs. The question would be, you know, what can be done so that jobs are created, and what are the challenges that you think are, you know, the obstacles that you know, preventing job creation in the country? What are those challenges and how can they be overcome? So that's, you know, the question, the takeaway from many people are graduating. These are graduation months. People are graduating, but not all of them are graduating knowing what, where to go and work. Not all of them are graduating, having, you know, hopes that they are going to have a job or having a job already. Some people graduate, they used to graduate already working. They are going to graduate. They ask their bosses for permission that I'm going to graduate, or they put on a leave or day off. They are going to graduate from work. But nowadays you have a lot of people, almost 60%, to 70% or 80% of the graduates not having, you know, jobs. Most of them are jobless. What are those factors that are preventing, you know, that are hindrances in terms, as far as, you know, jobs are concerned, with the job market, the issue that is, you know, that are standing within the job market? And I think 3 to 4 weeks ago, we had a, you know, a conversation where parliamentarians were saying that they suggested that certain, you know, people should be allowed to work until they can no longer work, until they are no longer able. The graduates, the people who are skilled, it should be allowed to work beyond 60. But the labor expert says, Herbert Yao said, the job market, then it will make it difficult for, you know, young people to penetrate the job market, because if older people are allowed to stay in, then it gives, you know, it makes the way or the possibilities for young people to get jobs more dimmer. And in most cases, the people that are graduating young people, and most of them, after graduating, they just go and sit at home. The question is here, is this is a challenge. And how do we overcome the challenge? Okay, so how do we overcome this challenge? How do we overcome the challenge as far as, you know, this joblessness is concerned? How do we overcome it? And what are other factors that can be done? Of course, we know, I mean, that what are other factors that are, you know, we can point to them to say these are the factors that are preventing, you know, preventing the job market to, you know, preventing it from stretch, from growing, from, you know, from accommodating or absorbing the young graduates. One of them is, of course, with the major one, from a government point of view, they say it's an economic downturn. So apart from that, what else do you think may be factors that can prevent, you know, or that can prevent the absorption of the graduates into the job market? That's another one. And then and the two is, you see, what else can be done, you know, to make sure that we overcome the challenge of the economic downturn and make sure that we create, or jobs are created. What can, you know, people do? What can, because the problem here is that you can say new graduates must be innovative in to create their own jobs. But then when you are not innovative, you know, you don't have money. You have an idea, but you don't have the money. And somebody needs the money. And those who have done, you know, practical work, such as agriculture, for example, you know, technical work or technical studies like maybe carpentry, joinery, and pipe fitting, painting or welding, or I mean metal fabrication, all that. You know, for somebody to be self-employed, they need money, they need capital. Starting capital, they need money to buy equipment, which they, you know, which they don't have. And it's
gusa etokoro lyouhunga lipopera nyamoge popera wakweni ninka wakurugane yowamba wakurugane yowamba wakurugane yowamba oweno ruganse sungumi Mokutura mwe hundiro liyeyo wamba zuma wakoko, ndimo kwa nakoma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantantatu zime, ntatuwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingurako Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Yeah, so you need money to buy those equipments. And it becomes very difficult to get, you know, that money, because you are not, the credit facilities do not trust you because you are new, they don't know you, and then the list of the challenges go on. The list of the challenges goes on. So what can really be done to make sure that, of course, these factors are overcome? What can be done to make sure that these factors are overcome? So those are the questions. And surprisingly, and the good news is that at least there are people graduating. That's a good news. But the challenge is the people graduate and then what next? How do we help to make sure that they are absorbed? They are absorbed in, you know, the labor market. The labor market absorbs them. That is, let alone some people criticize our own education and curriculum and all that. Is it really, does it speak to, does it contribute to the growth or in terms of the labor market? Does it contribute anything? So that's, those are the challenges. So if you want to be, you know, with, if you want to be, to come in and for us to have a conversation, you can call through. The number in studio is 083-288-4401. That's the number. If you want to come through, I'm going to be here till 1 o'clock. And of course, 1 o'clock, is a show where you will are going to have news. And of course, I'm going to be back with you again on the home run when we are going to have a wonderful discussion today. And you can't wait to, you know, be part of the conversation. Right. Now, there 3 days ago, the governor of Zambezi, the Honorable Lawrence Sampof, made a call to nurses to specialize so that they may bring critical medical services that are needed in the region. Yeah, so people must specialize. So the call for people to, you know, study, and sometimes the suggestion from, you know, the central government on type of, you know, studies that the central government deems important to the growth of the nation, such as engineering and others, often those suggestions are often echoed. But the challenge is somebody graduates and then the problem is it becomes difficult, you know, to find a job when you have gone through, you know, sleepless night reading and studying, but then at the end of the day after graduating you are still going through sleepless night trying to think how you can find a job. Yes, Eagle FM.
Yes, Mr. Franz.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Good, how are you?
We are doing better.
Yes.
Your program is, you're talking about graduation, or you're talking about self-employment, or where we started?
No, we are saying, we are talking about the difficulties of getting a job after graduation.
Okay, now, it's good thing for people to graduate, and that's good for the country. But the question is, the graduate, is the economic ready for the graduations, for the graduate? Is the economic ready to able to take them? Are the graduate in the field which is able to make them as employee or as like that? That's where the problem is, because there's no use if you have 1,000 graduates, but end of the day, our economic is very small. And it's only few feet where you cannot able to take maybe 100 or 300 graduate. The rest, they just fall out. Some day they go maybe to you know another field that may be able to take them. The rest, he just goes the street. So it's a worrisome because we have some of our sisters who happen to you graduate today. In 5 years to come, you still have no work. So and that will make you to change your mind to say no. Let me another do another course. Maybe that I must be able to get some work. But what at the point? What was the point of someone to get to graduate anyway? If the economy is not ready for you, that way is the problem is.
All right.
That's where the problem is. I think education department also, all those who are supposed to play their role in education, they should help our students on what course they must study. Some of the courses are not serious, are useful. There's no way you can produce another 500 teachers while the education is not taking them. What is the use? They will be just running all over the country, Kavango, Ufu, just go for interview of five people or two people. The next day you are going to Opuo, you are going to do the interview for two people. End of the day, it will be just a waste of money, waste of resources, waste of, and it will create depression in young ones. So it's really a problem. We should celebrate when somebody's graduate, but the economy is ready for him. But if we are not just celebrate for the sake of graduation, you make a party, but you don't know what's going to happen in 5 years to come or even 3 years to come. Those are the things we must tackle first before we talk about. Field of study is very important from the beginning. You must choose the right course that will make you able to be employed one day. Otherwise, it's not helping one.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Right. Yeah, so the question that he asked is that is the economy ready for the graduate? And that's a very, very profound question. Is the economy ready for the graduate? Eagle FM.
Good morning, afternoon.
Morning, afternoon.
Yes, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Good question, but I...
Ushua kokusha
oshimba oshihelero
momunyo vyetu peva peyuva. Monao po Global Parts tunovaungure ovabuike odhonongo nova harupu okukuvatera. Tunovitenda peke vyovikwiririmba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes Benz, Audi, BMW nui natwa weather ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako omana omanene shimuna omaile no Topra. Tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts tukupa onji viro othemba ohunga no vitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, no, it's fine, no problem. As I said, I had been observing, but I take note that almost it is not every year, every second year, there is a, I'm not so sure whether a research or a kind of engagement where specific fields are being prioritized. And this is a field also that I think NASAF is also funding. And I also observe the same high institution that are also either discontinuous some of the fields that are found not to be maybe not linked to what the economy is towards to, and introduce new ones. But you just don't know what is really the problem. In terms of whether you graduate and you cannot employ yourself, maybe that is something that the sector and the government can look into, because that is definitely about money. You cannot go anywhere, borrow money and do something. That one we can look into. But as of becoming an employee, globally, people are not really educated just to look into your own economy locally. You should have a qualification that can also give you opportunity to go outside. That's why you have people from ZIM everywhere, you know, because it seems their education is actually can also accepted somewhere else. I don't know whether ours is also, because we don't really have much of historical data that indicate to us how many Namibians we have outside. The way some, I think, from the marine perspective that we employ somewhere else, Qatar, Malaysia, where. But other than that, we don't see anything of that sort. We all want to zoom inside, which is very, very difficult. That is only my idea, that it's not a problem to graduate. You should graduate, but then that graduation, maybe we must look at whether it can also give you some opportunity outside. And then as apart from want to do something on yourself, then maybe we must also, you know, look somewhere how the other people are doing. Create something that the person can go and borrow and start something. I don't know. It's just my observation.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Right. So the question is the economy ready? Or the other question that came from him now, is that is our education having the does our education have the capacity, you know, to attract jobs from outside? Can a Namibian leave Namibia for an outside job somewhere else, like other people are doing, other people from other countries, where they can leave Zimbabwe or Kenya and they can find greener pastures in South Africa or Namibia? Do we have, can that be done vice versa? So can that be, you know, can the Namibian education cater for that? Can it provide an opportunity? Does it have the capacity to, you know, give you the opportunity of working outside the country? That's a question. And if you say, of course, people must be innovative and create jobs on their own. There was a statement last year that the president said the government is not God, so you must create jobs. Is it possible when you see you have kind of, you have a cumbersome process that, you know, as far as acquiring starting capital is concerned, to is for you to start your business and to create your own job, you need money. And is that money available? You know, that's the question here to answer. So people are graduating, but is the economy ready for them? Is the job market ready to absorb them? Do we have capacity to absorb anyone who is graduating? 083-2888-401. That's the number if you want to be part of the conversation. And, you know, there are a lot of hindrances that could hinder the absorption of graduates in the market, one of which, the major one, is economic stress that the country is going through since 2017. So since 2017, the country has gone through an economic stress, and it has since not recovered from. And of course, with the COVID-19, with the lockdowns that have come, 2020, that has destroyed a lot of businesses, sinking 900,000 people into poverty and unemployment. Eagle FM.
Yes, good day, friend.
Yes.
Okay, to answer to your question, I think our country or our market is ready to absorb all the graduates, let alone many of them. And there are so many factors that can hamper that to be achieved. Many countries that have been known to recruit many of their job seekers or graduates are the industrialized countries. And considering our countries and our economy, which is very small, population-wise and industrialized, as far as industry and many other factors are concerned, I don't think we are able to accommodate every graduate or many of them, whether it's private or government, simply because we don't have that capacity, population-wise and the size of the economy and all that. It's not going to happen. And again, many of the graduates, like teachers and nurses and many others, they used to be absorbed by the government, to the civil servants to be specific. But considering the factors that you mentioned just now, COVID and the economic downturn, as they used to say, and many other factors, slow growth, really is very negative. And it's very difficult to recruit many of the graduates. It's like, I don't know, something has to be done, which I don't know which one is that. Because many a time we are graduating the same accountants and lawyers or teachers, nurses, or whatever you, we cannot just take up everybody. And these days, it's not like the way we came from. Some of us, we learn a job the same year we finished the grade 12. Those things are not there anymore. And then we went on to finish our tertiary while we were already working. So that is very scarce now. That's why you find a graduate is many of them, they are tech drivers, they are working as shop assistants and all that. And those are even lucky. Some of them, they are just roaming the street with their degrees, even masters. It's very tough. I don't know what should be done to at least to provide jobs to our people. I hope something miracle probably can happen, which I don't know how. But every year we are graduating many young people. And they're just, even the jobs that were available, like nurses and teachers, it was an obvious that once you graduate as a teacher, you let the job immediately. But these days, it's not the case anymore. It's something just very difficult. I think that's all what I have to say, friends.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Right. Okay, we are here. And of course, I'm here till 1 o'clock. So in those days, some people, you know, while they are writing grade 12 or when they are writing their final year, they already have a job. While they are even on, you know, they have already have a job. But it doesn't happen anymore because, for smaller economies that are not industrialized and the economies that are not diversified, in terms of new industries that should be created, creating more new jobs that are significant, not only working I mean, as long as you are getting a, but jobs that really are sustainable, it's difficult to, you know, to absorb everyone in the job market because the job market becomes too small. Eagle FM.
Eagle FM, good afternoon, Dasan.
Yes, how are you, sir?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you should come to the graduate, who graduate today, you should be absorbed in our job market there. Really, it is now normal to, it's not just they got a degree or diploma, they will be. But also, to the other side, those difficult even to start your own business, as what you said. Even yesterday, I was attend the, maybe this is from what, the office of the president, this Namibian Investment Promotion Board, what they said. They have a scheme there. A credit grantee scheme for youth from 18, from 35 downwards up to 18 there. They will be given what, maybe, see, I think it's a loan or it's a grant. I don't know, but it's something like that. But there, it's another barrier the way they could not even get it through. It's a lot of barrier. Even if it is there, they could not get it. Only few, maybe few, very few of them, they will be successful for that one, but not all. Because there's a skill required, and the many things asked. If you need, if they are graduate, then they will, about what the experience, so on, like that. If you want to come up with what, a clinic or what, so on, maybe like that, they will ask you a lot of things. To come up, and then she said our economy is not, it's not because of our population is small. No, our economy is the smallest one of the population. Because when you see, when you say the unemployment is very high, unless you were finding, telling us that we are 85% employment. And then the rest is 16%. You get, by this way, you can say because of the population, the population size is small. But now, we never find a full employment. Therefore, we could not talk about the population, the size of the population.
Yeah, but do you know that the government takes a huge chunk of the employed in this country?
It is take where?
Do you know that the high percentage of employed people are working in government?
I don't know that. I don't know.
Yeah. So the government is a leading employer of almost 60 to 75% of the employed.
Yeah, because the government is the largest business in the country, the biggest business, which are making a lot of million in a day. It is their employment, 80 or 60%. It's okay because they are what is the biggest business in the country? It's a government. Therefore, they should employ a lot of people.
Okay, hold on.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah.
Therefore, if the government wanted to find that if the private sector is the one who is employing a huge percentage of the country, by this way, the government maybe can build very, come with a good infrastructure and everything. Because that the government make money out of that. But if it is come to the percentage, government must employ many percentage of the country must be employed in the government. It's the biggest business. No other business which is exceeding the government when it is income. The government is only the largest one. If they are not employing, it's up to 60 or 70. We don't know why. It's because of why. There's no reason to say that no, the government. People should be employed in the private sector, but it's also good to the economy. we can grow our economy if the large number of people employed in the private sector. And then the government will come up with a good infrastructure in the country. And the service of the government will be very good to the nation. But now, what is going on here? Many people that are employed in informal business. The high percentage of this country is employed in informal business. And then informal now is dying. Now we tell, no, because of we are small. We want how much population we want in this country. We never find 80% of those population which we have is smaller. We never find. And then we are demanding a large population or higher population. No. I could not understand that.
When we are talking about, look, when it comes to a small, you know, when it comes to small population also play a role. Because one thing that increases the GDP of the country is when people are able to buy to buy into the services and type of, you know, product that you are bringing into the country. So if you have a low purchase power parity in the country, your money, your economy is very small.
Yeah, it is small, but it's not because we are lining up to the capacity of the country, of the population of the capacity population of the capacity of the population of our country. We are just there up somewhere maybe 40% employment of the total population of this country, or 30 somewhere there. And then when that we talk about the reason is because of our population. Yeah, the buying power by attracting the foreign investors and then look to the buying power of the population, it will be affected. But now to our nation, we must try our level best to find the full employment. Then we could talk about this.
So how do we do that?
By creating a job, by creating a conducive environment for the business to start even. That's what we want. The problem is, yeah, therefore I said yesterday I was attend. The DBN Development Bank of Namibia, Standard Bank, and which one is the only one? But they still need a local authority. Local authority, they were not there. They are not giving people land to get it on. We not get it on because don't have land. You don't have an address. They are not there. Why they are not there? There is no power to give you electricity. There is no village headman to give you somewhere rent so that you can start business. There is nothing there.
Thank you very much. All right, you can do the same. These few minutes that are left, we can have a conversation. When it comes to employment, it should not be blamed on population. But when it comes to the economic growth, population also plays a very role, great one. Because it's an economic growth. When the economy is growing, then when the economy is growing, it also expands other markets, such as the labor market. You know, when the labor market is huge, then you have a huge absorption of people to work, and when more people are working, then you also have more people that are able to buy. You have the buying power. So if you are talking about Namibia, which is 2.3 million, 2.5 million, for example, and Angola, which is 33.5 million, to be approximate, in South Africa, which is over 60 million. Now, if you compare those countries, Angola and South Africa are likely to attract large companies that are able to absorb more people in terms of employment because they have a high population and therefore their purchase power is also higher as compared to Namibia. So population also plays a role because when you have a high population, for example, even transport becomes cheaper because you have more people traveling. But here, transport becomes expensive because you have less people traveling because of the population, that your population is small. Yes.
Yes, Dr. Frank, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Renga Janyan, I want to ask you a question. When countries are classified as one of the richest countries in the world, the classification, is it based on populations or is it based on commodities, natural resources and minerals?
No, natural resources and minerals, it's not a guarantee that you are rich. You are just rich with natural resources, but then they look at how your economy is diversified. Do you have an advanced economy?
Diversified based on what? Based on itself or what?
Because no, there are many factors yeah,
okay, let me say, to me, the amount of people in the country does not generate money. But money and commodities does generate money. You see that? That is the difference.
You could be right, but look. If I give you an example, for example, let's say you have two companies, big car manufacturing company that want to establish their plant in a country. They are not looking at whether you have mines or you have gold.
But they will come looking. What are your products? Because what are your products?
No.
What are you buying?
They don't care about your product. All they care is, are you able to buy what they are coming to set up? And that's why buying power is...
Yeah, but when people are going to buy of what you are going to set up, they are going to buy with what? Money from where? That's why I'm saying the money does not generate itself.
No, money doesn't generate itself. Money comes from, that's why I'm saying there are many factors that are involved. But yes, population also is a factor in an economy.
Yeah, but there are countries with more populations, but they are not rich. But there's countries with less populations, but they are rich.
Yeah, but
you
then...
See, the problem, you see what is being asked here. I actually wasn't really listening. From the beginning, but what is killing us here is that the hen is laying eggs, and then the eggs are not with the countries. This is what is the problem, because right now
the eggs are not what your phone cut
they don't hatch in the country. Somebody else is taking them and then they go and hatch somewhere else. Let me give you one scenario. We have a company that is in where the country is borrowing that has borrowed more than 140 billion. I think you will agree with me. Hello?
Yes, almost 140 billion.
Yeah. Now, if you look at, if you go back and try and find out whether we still have that money in the country, this money is not in the country. If you try and find out whether we have paid one of these debt back, we haven't paid anything. If you try and find out whether this money does reflect to the GDPs of the country, this money doesn't reflect there.
I think we are on the same page. Look,
yeah, exactly.
What we need to know is this. You see, we can only be rich if what we have is used, if we have value addition, that's number one. We add value to our own product.
That is what I'm talking about.
At the same time, population also plays a role. Let me give you an example of...
I understand where you are saying population plays also a role. But that is when there is something within the country also already that is actually generating money. That distributes money among people through business transactions. But if there is nothing, unless if you have something, like that's why we are actually talking about. these countries that are depending on coffees, on other commodities, or on oil, America is depending mostly on petrol dollar.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Yeah, what is the commodity of Singapore?
Singapore, I haven't really made a research about it,
yeah,
but they must be something.
No.
How rich are they? Are they classified as one of the richest countries in the world?
Of course. Singapore's GDP is higher than ours.
Yeah.
But they don't have natural resources.
When you have 70% of your money goes out of the country as hard cash money, or either in terms of foreign business, then your economy cannot grow.
Of course, that's a factor. That's a factor, yeah. But that's not the only factor. There are multi layers of factors that prevent the economy from growing. Depending on natural resources, the natural resources is not only the factor that grows the economy. There are many factors that are used in growth of the economy.
But we should, based on world classification as one of the richest countries in the world, we shouldn't take that.
They look at many things. They look at many things to classify a country to be the richest or to be rich or to be poor.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, let me ask you a question. There are countries in the world, or particularly in Africa, that are actually being funded. Or what do we say? They say Namibia is a self what? Self.
It's an upper.
Yeah.
It's a middle or upper income country.
Okay. Now, why and not the other countries? If you go and try and find out exactly why are they saying that, it will lead you to the natural resources that Namibians have.
Not only that, my brother.
Yes, I understand you. I understand you. But that's why I'm telling you, the biggest problem that we are actually having, our money does not stay in the country. That is the biggest problem that is actually killing us here. And then we have to find out a way of preventing this money. And sometimes we find ourselves borrowing money, billions of dollars, but that money does not come in the country. That money does not come in the country. A certain company will just be given a tender and do that job and finish, and then submit an invoice to whatever that bank gave the loans, and then they go to their country. But that money was supposed to come in the country to stimulate the economy so that the people can have a power of buying and set up businesses and generate money and enables to pay that loan back. But that money does not come in the country. That's the biggest problem that we have in this country. Eh?
Right.
Yeah. We can go and say and conclude and say whatever. I have observed this for the past 8 years. And then I have been having a meeting with one of my friends in Katima, and I was telling him, look, these things that we are actually giving foreigners, big tenders like capital tenders, especially those money that are actually being borrowed, we are actually busy dragging a grave for us. And then we are only have 4 or 3 years to fix it.
On the Radar, an Eagle News program that takes you beyond the streets and brings you closer to national and international. Breaking news as it unfolds. Tune in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2:30.
You see, Frank?
Yeah, no, this is a conversation that we can have.
My time is up. We have what we call a GDP and then an NGI. Those are two different sectors. Isn't that so? GDP and then NGI. National grossly income.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are two different sectors, depending on the economies of the country.
Yeah.
You see.
They also factor in when they are looking, when they are classifying you as what. They also factor in those factors.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. So it's not only about natural resources that No, that's a guarantee.
You see, we have two factors that are supposed to be one of the most factors to stimulate the country. The natural resources, I actually think I can conclude saying that we only have 20% of that money.
All right, my time is up. I have to go.
Okay.
Right.
No, thank you, Frank. I call in later. I was trying. Okay, right. Thank you, bye.
All right, my time is up here. Let me just greet Justicia. Justicia, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Franz. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yes.
Yes.
No, let me give you the chair.
Yes, let me scope you out of my chair, but okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Available in 6s and 18s. These fresh free-range eggs are produced daily and have a shell life of over 28 days. Now listen up. Free-range eggs are the most nutritious and organic eggs available for human consumption. Just yummy. We at Walenga Eggs also want to give every Namibian an opportunity to own a share in our value chain. So if you want to sell or distribute Walenga Eggs, call Omalaiti Foods at 0811-273622 or 0811-660707. This is a fest for Namibia. Walenga Eggs, the great white.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.